Have you ever made the same mistake over and over and over again? At the first time, people will say, okay, it's okay, it was a mistake, and let it slide. But when you cause the same mistake again and again, they look at you with a face, what are you, an idiot? That look, remember that? It's one thing to have the same mistake twice or more, but it's a completely different thing to commit the same sin to disgrace the name of God two times in a row. This morning we are going to look at another dark side of the Abraham's life. Bible is so honest that it shows not only the great things done by the great man and woman of God, but it also shows their sins and faults without any cover-up. The only thing that I can say is I'm so glad the Bible is no longer being recorded. However, to the non-believers, we are the living Bible they would ever read. They're not going to pick up the Bible and start to read. We are the Bible they will ever read. That is why our right representation of God to them is so important. Let's remember from the Abraham's sin so that we may not commit the same kind of sin again and again. Let's pray before we go any further. Heavenly Father, we lift up our hearts to you to receive your word, to receive your instruction. We are asking you to guide us in such a way that we may not commit the sins like over and over and again like Abraham did. Let us learn from him and take heed so that we may not fall. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 20 of Genesis, verse 1 and 2. Abraham journeyed from there and to the south and dwelt between the Kadesh and his Shur, stayed in the Gerar. Now the Abraham said of the Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. Abimelech, the king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. On the tale of great testimony, great intercessory prayer to God on behalf of the wicked people of Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham again committed a sin that he did previously. Yes, it was the same song. It is the same song in the second verse. This time, he didn't even change the lyrics. It's the same lie that Abraham told back in Genesis chapter 12. Abraham showed to us it is all too easy to slip back into the sinful habit. Because of trusting God to keep his instead of trusting God to keep his family together and safe, he devised his own plan to do it. Folks, age does not automatically sanctify us. Unless we yield to the Holy Spirit, we will repeat the same sinful pattern of our youth in our old age. Even though Sarah was 90 years old at this time, she must have been a hot chick for Abraham to lie through his teeth like this. You know, they didn't even have a Botox during that period. To get to Gerar, Abraham had to go to quite far south in the land of Israel. We don't find any word from God to Abraham to move out of the memory to the Gerar. There was no inquiry to God from Abraham. There's no altar to build, no prayer to seek God's will. He just did it all by himself. It is no wonder why the Abraham went south literally, you know, no pun intended. Verse 3. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, Indeed you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken. For she is a man's wife, but Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say to me that she is my sister? And she herself said, He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hand, I have done this. And God said to him in a dream, Yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now, therefore, restore man's wife, and for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all you who are yours." When God showed up in Abimelech's dream and told him, "You are so dead," he might as well hang it up. He was a finished man. When God says you are dead, what can you do? How can you stand against the Almighty God? Nobody can. But this pagan king had more integrity than Abraham. This threat seems like a little bit drastic for God to take, but the stakes were high. Despite of Abraham's failure to really trust in God, in this kind of situation, God was not going to abandon him. He would not let Abimelech touch Sarah. You know why? Because her womb must be protected. Through that womb, promised son Isaac should be born. Through the lineage of Isaac, our Messiah, Jesus Christ, should be born. So God would not let anyone to question this lineage. God was not going to leave this matter up to man. God kept Abimelech from the world's sin. His protecting power can guide even the pagan king. We must remember, God is not only powerful to the believers, he is powerful to any creation that he created. Verse 8. So Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their hearing, and the men were very afraid. Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, "What have you done to us? How have I offended you that you have brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? You have done deed to me that ought not to be done." Then Abimelech said to Abraham, "What did you have in view that you have done these things?" This is, this is a sad day when the believers of God get rebuked by the heathen. Unfortunately, this happens often. God always holds his followers to the higher standard than the non-believers. Jesus told us, as believers of God, we ought to be a salt and a light of this dark and a vile world. If we lower our standards, what are we different than them? Remember Gomer Pyle, the old TV series? You know his favorite saying, shame, shame, right? If we do that kind of things, we should be ashamed of ourselves. Matthew 5:13-16 says, "You are the salt of the world, salt of the earth, but if the salt loses flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hidden, nor they light a lamp and put it under the basket and put it on the lampstand. It gives a light to all who are in the house." Here's the main point, folks. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father in heaven. Brothers and sisters, if we do good things, people will see it and they will bring glory to the Father in heaven. If we do bad things, and they will know that we are Christian, and they will say they are no different than us. That will bring the reproach to our God's name. Verse 11. And Abraham said, "Because I thought that surely the fear of God is not in this place." Would you underline that, please? "And they will kill me on account of my wife. But indeed she is truly my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. She became my wife. It came to pass," next phrase needs to be underlined, "when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said to her, 'This is your kindness that you should do for me in every place, wherever we go, settle me, he is my brother.'" The men of Gerar may not have the fear of God in their heart, but Abraham did not have a trust in God in his heart. See, then lighthearted admission of sin is not the same as a brokenhearted confession of sin. Psalm 51:17 says, "The sacrifice of God are the broken spirit and broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." You know who said that? King David, after his adulterous relationship with Bathsheba, when he was brokenhearted, and he came to God with a brokenhearted and contrite spirit. That's what God is looking for. If our attitude is right, we will hate our sins. We will hate ourselves for having sinned and despise the very memory of our sins. You know, people who remember their sins with a pleasure and they said good old days or enjoying them again in their memories. What is there to enjoy? What is there for us to say good old days? Puking our guts out into the toilet bowl after having a hangover, having been drunk the night before, and smoking the marijuana, that kind of thing. Is that a good thing? Is that a good old days? See, in those people who think that it's a good old days, in their mind, they never judge their sins or consider how terrible their sins really are in God's eyes. Abraham and Sarah said, convinced themselves that somehow that since they didn't tell complete outright lie to the Abimelech, they're okay. Folks, half lie is actually worse than complete lie. Why? Because half lie contains enough fact to convince other people, but just enough deception to make it dangerous to everyone. When Abraham said, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, you know, this phrase is an indirect way of blaming God for this problem and this deception. Abraham claims that God sent him out in this dangerous journey upon which Abraham had to protect himself with his half-truth lie. This is terrible meaning in this verb, to wander. There is 50 times mentioned this very word in the scriptures. Each time it's mentioned, is used as a bad meaning and not a good sense. It is used as an animal going astray, or a drunken man, you know, wandering around, reeling, staggering, or the sinful seduction, or the prophet's lie, causing people to err, or a path of a lying heart. Six other words could be used to replace this wonder, but Abraham chose to use this worst word available. Abraham should have said that, "Oh, forgive me, Abimelech, for I dishonored you and my God." He should be man enough to take full responsibility instead of making an excuse. The consequences of this deception didn't stop here. The generation after generation, there's a deception because they learn from their parents. Think with me about how the deception ran in his family. Number one, Abraham, as we learn, deceived the Pharaoh of Egypt and Abimelech of Gerar with his half-truth, half-lie in Genesis chapter 12 and chapter 20. Second thing is that Abraham's son Isaac obviously learned this kind of thing from his father, and he also lied to another Abimelech in Gerar that his wife Rebekah is his sister. In Genesis chapter 26. By the way, Abimelech is a title, another name of the king's title, not the name of the king. Third thing that I find is Isaac's son Jacob was a cunning fellow from the day one, and his mother Rebekah helped him to deceive his own father to take away the family's blessing from his brother Esau. Isaac even used God's name to convince his blind father. And fourth point is that 10 of the Jacob's sons who envied 11th son Joseph and wanted to kill him when they saw him in the wilderness. instead of killing him, they sold him to the slavery. And then they turn around to their father Jacob, saying, "Oh, your son has been killed by your son was killed by this wild animals in the wilderness." See the progression of this there, deception from the Abraham to the son of Jacob. It was getting worse and worse as each generation passed by. So why did Abraham sin? For one thing, though the Abraham had a sinful nature, he had been justified by faith. God gave him a new name from Abram to Abraham, but that did not change his old sinful nature. Because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the work of Christ on the cross, believers can have a victory over our old nature. But this is not automatic. We need to be sanctified through the Word of God and through our daily prayer and confession of our sin every day. We only can do that if we let the Holy Spirit guide us. In light of the Abraham's compromise, we should never underestimate the power of Satan's temptation. Because Satan has been doing this for over 6,000 years. He really knows what he's doing when it comes to tempting the believers of Jesus Christ. At the same time, we should not overestimate our own spiritual power to resist the devil's temptation. Without God, we are weak, we are vulnerable, and we are literally sitting ducks. If we depend on God, use the full armor of God, which are the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, having shed our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and shield of faith, and helmet of salvation, and sword of spirit, which is the word of God, then we can stand against the devil's scheme. If you and I think that we can handle our own, forget it. It takes a two hit. He hit me, I hit the floor. We don't have a chance. Verse 14 of chapter 20. Then Abimelech took the sheep, oxen, and male and female servant, and gave them to Abraham. He restored Sarah, his wife, to him. And Abimelech said, "See, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleased you." Then Sarah, to Sarah he said, "Behold, I have given your brother," notice the sarcasm there, "a 1,000 pieces of silver. Indeed, this vindicates you before all who are with you and before everybody." Thus she was rebuked. So the Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, his female servant. Then they bore children, for the Lord has closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, of Abraham's wife. Abraham lost the testimony of God and the ministry to show these pagan people about his God. How could he talk to these pagan neighbors about the God of truth when he himself had told a lie? Listen carefully, please. A bad man's example has a little influence over good men. But the bad example of a good man has an enormous power of evil and brings occasion for non-believers to blaspheme God. Good example, King David. He had an adulterous relationship with Bathsheba. When he was confronted by the prophet Nathan, this is what Nathan said in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14. "However, because of this deed, you have given a great occasion to enemies of the Lord to blaspheme." I've seen many people in my life, I did the sin against God. And that gives opportunity for the enemy of God to blaspheme my God's name because of my stupidity and because of your stupidity. Is it worth it? No, it's not worth it. Because our own carnal desire, we do the stupid things. And we bring disgrace to God's name. God does not reject His children when they sin, but He disciplines them because of His unending love. Abraham was justified by faith in righteous standing before God. Justification does not change. We are accepted in Jesus Christ no matter what we are in ourselves. Of course, the fact is we are justified before God. That means that there should be a change in our lives. Because of faith without work is dead, according to the book of James. See, if you said you are a born-again Christian, your actions should speak in volume. Your changed action, your changed in your language, in your heart. If your action, your heart is not changed, if your language is not changed, where is that fruit of your salvation? If you don't have a fruit of salvation, you have to question yourself. If you are really saved, or was that just emotional hype? We all know the famous verse from the 1 John 1:9. You remember that? If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, our God forgive us if we confess our sins. On the flip side of that is that if we don't confess our sin, He cannot and will not forgive us our sins. That means that it becomes our choice not to have an intimate relationship with Him. We cannot blame Him for that. So, do you identify yourself with the unbelieving and backslidden Abraham today? Do you have a tendency to slipping back to the old carnal habit again and again? Then make it right with Him by asking God for His forgiveness and make a commitment to stay away from the temptation and stay close to Jesus through His Word, the Bible, and prayer daily. Let's make one application. A bad man's example has little influence over a good man, but the bad example of a good man has enormous power for evil and bring occasion for non-believers to blaspheme God. I hope that rings in our heart whenever we consider doing wrong things against God's name. God bless you. Let's stand up and pray.